Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, enough bemoaning the quarterback position. Let's talk some baseball. He's been a great friend of our show since he arrived in town going on 10 years ago, which is insane to think. Jed Hoyer is now the president of the Chicago Cubs Baseball Operations Department. He just signed a five-year extension, and he is in charge of retooling, rebuilding, whatever he wants to call it, and he joins us right now. Jed, thanks for taking time. Congratulations on the new opportunity that you've been presented, and happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
Oh, anytime. Thank you, Cap. I appreciate it, man.
So what would you call this? Rebuilding, retooling, resetting? Like, how do you look at it from your seat? Because you've been very open, as was Theo on his way out. Our offense broke. We got to get that fixed.
Yeah. I don't know if you have to name it anything. I guess the way I look at it is kind of what I've said, that, you know, we have a really good team. You know, we won the division last year. I think the way that things ended, I think it left a bad taste in everyone's mouths, and ours included. But we have a really good team. I also think we are at the point where we have a lot of players that are getting close to the end of their service clock, whether it's the one-year guys or even some guys with just a couple of years. And I think when that happens, you have to, you know, you have to be aware that, like, you know, in order to keep those players, you know, you're going to have to pay free agent dollars. You can't do that with every single guy. We know that. And so I think we know that we have to keep an eye towards the future at all times. So I don't know if you have to call it or label it, but I think there are periods of your time when you're completely focused on what's happening up here, and there's times you have to sort of split your attention a little bit, and I think we're at that point.
So as you look toward the future, and, you know, it's no secret, Bryant and Baez and Schwarber and Rizzo, they're all in the final year of their deal, and you're dealing with a global pandemic, and you had to reduce the staff you worked so hard over the last 9 years to put together. Like, what's first on your list? Is it the non-tender deadline? Is it, no, it's just a much more macro look of where I want us to be 3 years from now?
Well, I think you always kind of start with that, right? You always have to think, okay, you know, what do I think this looks like? And you kind of pan out. But yeah, I mean, the first thing we were dealing with was, you know, we had to do the 40-man roster protections. And then obviously after Thanksgiving, we have the tender deadline. And then, you know, it's going to be an active offseason, even though I think it's going to be late. I think that there'll be a lot of moves that may happen late, probably due somewhat to the pandemic, but I still think that, you know, there's a lot of phone calls and a lot of chatter, and you're constantly busy. I just think deals might not come to fruition until later, I think, for everybody, and I think that's kind of the buzz out there. So, I mean, this is always a busy job. I mean, I think that we're, you're always balancing, you know, major league player moves with kind of long-term interests and strategies with, you know, staffing issues. So there's always things going on, and this is always a busy time of year, and you know, it's just a little bit busier than usual with this transition.
As you look at your pitching staff, so you've got two everyone would love to have, Kyle Hendricks, and he's locked up, and Yu Darvish, and he's locked up. But then you've got a lot of questions, whether it's John Lester coming back, you lose Chatwood, you lose Quintana. Is addressing the pitching staff to be putting somebody in that three spot for next year a priority, or is it first, I got to figure out our offense first?
Yeah, well, there are two different issues, right? I think when it comes to the offense, obviously we struggled, you know, badly this year, and that's where we spent a lot of our focus is, you know, how can we get better? And some of that may be getting better by, you know, finding players from the outside, and some of that might be getting better by this, you know, improving. I do think that we sometimes forget it was 60 games. I think our hitters are much better than they showed last year. But, yeah, we've talked a lot about whether it's different training methods or different ideas or different messaging. You know, there's ways to improve from the outside, and there's ways to improve from the inside. You know, when it comes to the pitching, you know, our pitching staff has been, you know, really steady. And despite the fact that we've struggled to develop pitchers from the minors, we've really had a lot of luck getting guys, thanks to a good infrastructure, and getting guys to succeed up here. But yeah, right now I think that we're short some innings for sure. You know, I think when you mentioned the three guys that we lost, we did a good job, you know, filling into those guys with guys like Azalea and guys like Mills. But still, like we're probably short some innings. And you know, last year's 60-game season, I think somewhat spoiled us in a way of about thinking about pitching depth. And if we're going to play, you know, some number that's far greater than that next year, that pitching depth becomes, you know, really important.
The when you guys got here, and you and Theo were always consistent in any interview you did, every season is special, and if we're in the race, we're going to do all we can to try and win. But deep down, you knew running Jason Birkin or Joe Mather in the line, that team's not going to win. It's going to take us some time. But you were very transparent about that. Do you feel like fans would buy in because of the success that you were a part of, and they know how you do your job and how the organization has improved, that if you truly came out and said, look, we're going to compete, we've got a couple really good pitchers, but we may take a step back too. Do you see that at all as a possibility, that you may come out and go, folks, just give me a little time, I'm going to rebuild this thing?
Well, no, I mean, I think that, you know, I think it was different then. We just, you know, simply didn't have enough talent to win then.
Yep.
And we felt like there was no way to do it. I think we know now that we have, like I said, we have really good players, really good roster. I think we just won a division, you know, kind of wire to wire with a team that frankly underperformed in a lot of areas. So, I mean, it was kind of a testament to Rossi and some grit that we were able to do that. So, I mean, I think it's a very different equation, but I do think it is important that, you know, that we're transparent. And I think we will be, because that was one of the things I really took from that 2012 to 2014 era, was that, you know, I do feel like part of why the fans had patience during that time was that we were transparent. And so I don't think we're certainly not even close to there right now. We have really good players, but I do think I did learn a lot from Theo's messaging during that period. I think it is important just to be honest. I think having been here 9 years, I think we've built up some credibility. And I think that with that, people know that we're going to, you know, kind of shoot everyone straight.
Is it also possible, we're talking to Cubs president Jed Hoyer here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Is it also possible we might see some names moved out? We're like, whoa, that guy's no longer a Cub. Whoa, that guy's not. But you also, at the same time, money coming off the books and other guys leaving, that we might see an acquisition that plays not just in 2021, but is part of your long-term future, that, wow, they actually took some of the savings and they got that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unclear at this point, all those things. I think that's what one of the hardest parts of trying to put the puzzle together, you know, this offseason is trying to think about all those moving parts. And, you know, we're certainly not there yet from a strategy standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to our offense, I do feel like, you know, obviously, like, you know, we struggled in a lot of areas last year. I do think we have to improve certain aspects of our offense. And so, yeah, if we can find ways to acquire hitters or shift out hitters and then bring some guys in to maybe do something a little bit different, I think that's something we have to look at. Like I said, I think as we look to improve the offense, we'll try external things, and I think we'll try some internal methods as well. Like I said, we're trying, different messaging, you know, some different coaching, some different training methods. I mean, there's definitely things we can try internally. And again, I always fall back at the end. I do believe that if we played a real length season, there's no way that some of those, you know, all-star MVP caliber players have years like that. And I think we have to remember that it was a small sample. Everything good might not have been as good over 162, and everything bad might not have been as bad over 162.
If you could go back post 2016 and go, I'd like to redo that decision, would it be the number of hitting coaches that you changed out? Would it be a deal that you wish you would have done? I'm not asking you to throw a current player under the bus, but is there some decision you look back and go, God, I'd like a do-over?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any one decision, but I will say, yeah, I mean, I think I kind of joked about this in the press conference. I mean, I think that, you know, however critical the fans might be you know, we're definitely more self-critical than that. And I think that there's certainly, you know, there's decisions I think we made, you know, pre-2016 that, you know, sort of were A++s. And there's certainly decisions that we made post-2016 that didn't turn out as well. And, you know, I think our processes were the same, but, you know, sometimes, you know, decisions don't come out as well. And that's that is an area of frustration, I think, when you look at it. You know, I do think when you're kind of in that window to win and you have all these young players, you know, on this club and just won a World Series, I think, you know, being aggressive and pushing and trying to continue to win, I think is, you know, that's the way to go. But, you know, certainly I do feel like probably the main area that it's not one decision, but the main area that I think, hurt us is, and we've talked about this, is that, you know, pitching development, you know, we ended up always having really good pitching in the major leagues, but it came with a cost. It came with a trade cost. It came with a financial cost. And so I think as an organization, we probably became a little bit less efficient than we wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
Because of that. And I think that, that, you know, pushed some of those decisions, they pushed us to make some certain decisions that we had to be more aggressive on than if we had, you know, a pipeline of pitching that was coming up through our system. So I think that, you know, that one area probably pushed us in some areas that were uncomfortable. And I think that's probably the area that we have spent the most time over the last couple of years retooling and trying to improve. And I feel really good about it now. But that is probably the area that pushed some of those decisions.
Yeah, I remember having this. It was an argument that Theo and I had where he said, you don't look at when a guy has a cost control contract or we acquire a guy who's under contract, there's a value to that. And my response to him was, yeah, well, I've never seen the pages of the contract walk out to the mound and pitch or go play left field or center field, wherever the case may be. Do you think the industry as a whole, Theo was on here last week and said, yeah, some of the analytical stuff that we were a part of and, you know, Moneyball and all that has contributed to the decline in the entertainment value of the game. Do you also think that can be applied to, God, everybody looks at contracts and numbers rather than just the human being that's going to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some element to that. I mean, I do think that some of the frustrations that we have with the current on-field product, I think, you know, I don't think my views on this are particularly unique. I think a lot of people see the same thing, the lack of contact, the strikeout rates. You know, I think that's largely because, you know, teams are analytically, you know, pushing things in that direction. And I don't think that's good for the product. I mean, I look at it two ways. I can look at this as a executive, and as an executive, I want pitchers that strike people out and keep the ball out of play. And then as a fan and someone who loves baseball, I realize that no one comes to the ballpark to watch, you know, the ball not being put in play in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. Like, that's not fun for anybody. And so I do think that analytics has pushed things in that direction. And then, yeah, I do think that, you know, I guess I'd say something slightly different. I think that one of the challenges in our game right now is that it's just become such a flat hierarchy across all teams that, you know, people are looking at the same numbers. And I think part of our constant battle is to find different numbers and new ways to look at things. And if we can find new ways that are valuable to look at things that are different than other teams, it can really help, because so many people are looking at the same numbers and thinking the same way. And that leads to stagnation, I think, a little bit, and it leads to a lack of creative ideas and things like that. So I do think that there's something to that. I mean, listen, I'm the last person in the world that's going to rail against analytics. I spend all day in front of a computer, and, you know, so I just think that that's I can't comment on that. I'm part of the problem, I guess, if you will. But I do think that, like, that aspect of our game, with a lot of people thinking the same way, it does lead to a certain amount of stagnation.
How are you finding the phones? Because with the non-tender deadline, it's not just a Cubs problem, it's for the industry. They didn't say, well, we don't know if there's a DH next year in both leagues, and we've got a pandemic. Why don't we push that later down the road? Next Wednesday, you're going to have to make some very tough decisions. Yes, no, whatever the case may be. Which means GMs and team presidents like you and all your brethren are burning up the phone lines. How are you finding the phone lines in terms of this glut of players that may hit the market?
Yeah, it's been a lot of chatter over the past couple weeks, for sure. I mean, I think that it, I think in this game in general, deadlines spur activity, and that's just, you know, it happens in every possible way. And so I think that when you have a deadline like next Wednesday, I think it leads to a lot of phone calls. And I think, you know, after Wednesday, there's no deadlines for a while. And I think that's what we sometimes find. And when I kind of alluded to a slowdown, like that was kind of what I was alluding to, is that, you know, there'll be natural phone calls between now and Wednesday. But after that, that's when we could see sort of a slowdown, or, you know, with the lack of another urgent moment. And so, you know, sometimes, it's not good for the work-life balance. I think having those deadlines are really, really valuable. It forces activity, it forces decisions. And when you don't have those deadlines, things can really drag out, as we've seen with, you know, free agent signing in March and things like that.
Last question I have for you on baseball. Do you expect a number of guys hitting the market next week? Because in a pandemic, teams are going, I don't care, man, shed the money. The owners are going, shed the money. Like, do you expect to be looking at a list that just keeps getting bigger and bigger as the day goes on?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I will say that, you know, this is a year where you definitely look at the market a lot. There's been some, you know, some signings and some agreements that aren't public that we know about that I feel like are pretty market based by any standard, like not that dissimilar to what you normally expect. So, you know, I think there's probably some indicators on the negative side, and there's probably some indicators on the positive side as well. So I think it's a little bit hard to say, you know, given the fact that, you know, some of the contracts that have come out so far have been probably not dissimilar than they would be in a normal environment. So I think it's hard to say how much it'll be like that, because there are definitely some indicators on both sides.
You said there's been some agreements that you guys know in the industry that haven't yet been released. Any of those for the Chicago Cubs?
No. But like you kind of always hear rumblings of deals, you know, maybe a physical is pending or something like that. You kind of hear those things. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what I was alluding to. But, yeah, I think in general those have been, so far, have been not dissimilar to markets of the past.
Favorite thing you're looking forward to eating on Thanksgiving, where you don't care about your diet or being, I'm eating that.
Well, I'm the opposite. I feel like I have to kind of put weight on. When I start working like nonstop, I just stop eating. So Thanksgiving is good for me. I don't know. I'm a sucker for stuffing. I feel like a good stuffing is fantastic. So that's probably a probably number one on the list, and then hopefully there's some good pumpkin pies as well.
Yeah, I'm a fruit pie guy, not a pumpkin pie guy. So it is what it is.
Hey, I'm not against that. So,
well,
I'm not going to disparage that.
Enjoy the time with the family, and I'm sure we'll be catching up soon with the big deadline, and then things will probably drag a bit. But best of luck and congratulations on this opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you, Cap. I appreciate it, man. Be well.
You too. Appreciate you. There he is, Jed Hoyer, president of the Chicago Cubs. Your thoughts, reaction to what Jed had to say? He's got big decisions next week, man. Big decisions. Who's getting non-tendered? Who's getting traded? How much money are they moving off of the books? We'll get your thoughts and go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Next. Folks, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. You're going to chow down. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to relax and hopefully have a great, great meal. So today, how about preparing yourself by getting a little bit of a workout in, making sure that you get a good night's sleep tonight, and then after Thanksgiving, how about doing a little intermittent fast? If you do a 16-hour fast, it is so good for your body. Danny Zetterman preaches intermittent fasting. I have incorporated it, and it is spectacular. Do any research on a 16-8 eating plan. You find out how great it is for your body, for your frame of mind, all of it. Brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield, proud server of the human body, the most advanced machine on earth.
David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood, hoodie off today. We're back together on Monday to review Bears and Packers. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, believes Mitchell Trubisky will start at quarterback. He hasn't confirmed that, but that's what he believes. Other Bears insiders, including the guy who blocked me on Twitter, Brad Biggs, also believe that Mitchell Trubisky will get the start on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see how it goes. If they're going to do the same old, and not run the football and have him drop back 55 times, it's going to be embarrassing. Maybe, just maybe, Matt Nagy has seen the error of his ways. He's going to have a fullback back there, and they're going to let Mitch roll, and they're going to cut the field in half and let him use his legs and make some plays. Maybe, just maybe. You never, ever know. It'll be fun to watch either way. Always love watching our Bears. 312-332-3776. So you just heard from Jed Hoyer. Let's go to Mike in Evanston. He's first. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, good. How are you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, a few things. I think this is a great opportunity for the Cubs to blow this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a guy like Rizzo. Kind of mirror what the White Sox have done. They kept Abreu. Maybe keep Rizzo. See what you can get for Baez and Bryant, Schwarber. Really, when the Cubs offered Bryant and Baez, you know, extensions last year and they didn't take them, that's kind of a telling sign. You know, I heard Hayward on yesterday, and he said something along the lines of, you know, there may be some guys that will thrive better with other organizations, possibly down the line with winning organizations. I mean, I could see easily Bryant with the Dodgers, Baez maybe with the Dodgers, Yankees. I mean, if we can trade Baez maybe for a young kid to the Yankees like Jason Dominguez and really build our farm system, I'm all for it for a quick two-year rebuild. If we can't spend money in the offseason and get free agents, what's the point? I mean, if we got Darvish, see what the Sox got with Sale. They got a lot. Imagine what we can get for Hendricks and Darvish, say, at the trade deadline next year. I mean, we could get a huge haul. I'm all for a quick reset. Keep Rizzo, but see what we can get for the rest of the guys and just overhaul this whole thing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to blow the thing up to the point where it's, you know, a 100-loss team, because it's hard to turn that thing back around, and it permeates throughout the organization. But if somebody called me up, like the New York Yankees, and said, hey, we'll give you a haul. We want you, Darvish. He's 33. I'm in. They want to trade for somebody on my team, make me an offer that's fair. I'm in. 100%. I'm with you. If they articulated it, hey, we're not going to be awful, but we are going to trade a couple assets here to get better. All in. I think I have my finger on the pulse of the Cubs pretty good, and I'm okay with it as a Cubs fan. Again, I don't want to find out that they lose 110 ball games, but if they had a particular player like the Yankees did when they signed traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, and they get Gleyber Torres, and then they re-signed him back, or they traded Andrew Miller, but they got four players back, and boom, they go out and acquire Giancarlo Stanton, and they develop Aaron Judge, and next thing you know, they're right back at it. Yeah, all in. Absolutely. A little dip, I'm cool. No doubt about it. 312-332-3776. Julian is up in Lindenhurst. Hey, Julian.
Hey, guys. Cappy, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, all that good stuff.
You too, Sparky.
Thanks for getting Jed on the line. You know what? Here's the biggest one that sticks to my craw. They got rid of LeMahieu. That was the biggest. That was, I feel, was the biggest mistake they made. Here's a guy as a contact hitter, maybe once or twice won a batting title, probably once or twice up there as top five hits in the league. That was the guy that was missing from the lineup. That was the straw to stir your drink guy right there. They got an opportunity now. They're talking about dumping some salary. They got an opportunity now to go out and sign a guy. I don't care what he costs. Listen, we sat through all these years. I try to forget about the days you stepped on my knuckles in the bleachers in 84, okay?
Yeah.
So I can't forget things, okay? Losing LeMahieu was huge, and that's the type of guy, or that's the guy they need to go get for this team.
Yeah, and they're not going to spend that. It's just not going to happen.
I know, but at least I got it off my chest.
And I don't disagree. I've asked Theo and Jed before, how'd you guys trade DJ LeMahieu? You not only gave up Tyler Colvin to get Ian Stewart back, but you threw DJ LeMahieu. They just didn't even know who he was. They didn't even know what they had. They were changing scouts up. Like, nobody. It just fell through the cracks. And, you know, mistakes are going to happen. It shouldn't have happened. But the amazing thing is, I'll never forget, sitting in the newsroom at then Comcast Sportsnet, my partner Todd Hollinsworth played for the Rockies. He picks up the phone. He calls Todd Helton. Hey, Todd. Hey, what's going on, Holly? How you doing? Good. Let me ask you a question. We are trading for Ian Stewart. And he goes, ha, good luck. That guy's the worst. We couldn't wait to get him out of our locker room. So we went out and traded two players, one of whom turned into an all-star and a batting champ, to get a guy that they hated in their locker room. That was my problem with the deal. How did we not know that? So appreciate the call. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. 312-332-3776. Couple fun events this weekend at sports. One of them, I can't wait my son and I to watch. Do you have any interest? We'll get to that in your calls. Next. Fall is here, folks. You know what that means. Chores, raking leaves, cleaning gutters. So much fun. Nope. Hard pass. Ditch the rake. Weekends are for football and Miller Lite. This weekend, check out some of the best football bars on the Southwest Side. The Sock Bar and Grill in Hickory Hills. The Hideout in Midlothian. A J.W. Halstein Saloon at Tinley Park. Hoodie loves that place. Grab, pick up, or stay for outdoor dining and watch our Bears take on the Cheeseheads from Green Bay. Support local with a great meal and ice cold Miller Lite. Go to bestfootballbars.com for more info. Please drink responsibly.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Rolling on with Tyler, JR. I'm Cap. Hope you're ready for Thanksgiving. Tyler, you're excited to eat what tomorrow? I know what your draft picks were, but what are you most excited to sit down and crush?
Tomorrow is mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
those
are
my big two.
Yeah, I'm a mashed potatoes guy. I have it once a year. And so that will be something. That with corn and gravy is a very, very good, tasty thing on Thanksgiving. JR, what are you most excited to crush?
I'm a little kid. I have a sweet tooth. I like the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top.
Yeah, my wife was talking about, she heard you say that yesterday, and she's like, JR's smart. She loves that. She makes it. I don't like sweet potatoes.
All right. Well, and then the pecan pie. You got to have pecan pie.
Yeah, I'm a fruit pie guy. I'm a fruit pie guy. So tomorrow, I'm going to cook a steak. I'm going to have my mashed potatoes with corn and a little gravy, just a little bit. And I'm not a bread guy, so I'm not into the dinner rolls or any of that stuff. And then I'm going to crush some pie.
I like the rolls, but I'm not a big stuffing guy. I've never liked
me
stuffing.
Either.
My parents used to try to get me to eat that all the time growing up. My brother loves it. I hate it. I will never eat stuffing.
Yeah, I'm not a stuffing person either. I don't get, my wife could sit and crush a bowl of it. And she's like, oh, it's the greatest. Yeah, hard pass. I don't get the fascination. I just don't.
If you've never had the White Castle recipe with the stuffing, I highly recommend it.
The what?
White Castle, you know, sliders? There's a recipe where you take sliders and you make them in your stuffing.
The burger and the whole deal?
Yep.
I don't even know where a White
Castle... Double hard pass.
Yeah, double hard pass. And I used to go to White Castle in college all the time. We called it the WC Lounge. I even had a winter hat. They were selling like ski hats. I wore my White Castle winter hat to class every day. I don't even know where that. Where is one?
The one I always think of is the one on the way home from Wrigley, right? That one right there when you go to the highway.
On Elston and Addison.
Yeah, that's the one I always think
of. Is that still there?
I don't know. I haven't been there in probably 2 years.
You know who used to want me? I used to drive him home, and he'll deny this. He would want me to stop there so he could buy a bag of burgers. Waddle. Waddle loved eating White Castle at 10 o'clock at night when we got off the air.
If I remember correctly, too, I think Fred is a huge White Castle guy, if I'm remembering correctly. I feel like he brought that up one time.
That's only like a drunk or stoned food.
Yeah, I'm
like,
with you.
Like, I can't see at noon going, hey, let's go to White Castle for lunch.
For lunch, yep. Mm-hmm. No.
No. Now, 2 o'clock in the morning and you're hammered, you go, yeah, let's go get some greasy White Castle. Okay, I get it. But, yeah. Like, what was the big thing you would crush in college at Syracuse?
There, so, we had this strip called Erie Boulevard. Uh-huh. Literally, any single fast food chain you want, it's on that strip.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing, I would say we were Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Taco Bell, McDonald's. Just a little late night, you get a McFlurry, some fries. Occasionally some Wendy's. Wendy's is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had a Sonic. And you just go through.
Never been to a Sonic.
So there's not really any around here, but I had never been to a Sonic until I went to college, but they have their, I don't even remember what they're called, like their version of the Blizzard is so good.
Sonic?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah,
but
one of my kids, Garrett, loves going, when he would go to Texas to visit my sister-in-law and my nieces, they would go to Sonic. It's big in Dallas.
There's one on Dundee Road just west of 53 Kep.
Sonic?
Yep.
I've never been, like, what is the big appeal?
I think there's one up in DeKalb, too.
No idea.
They bring you your food. You sit in your car. You order it at the little
like
window
Super
right
Dog.
There. Yeah, it's
yeah,
more
it's
like,
the same thing.
Yes, they have their own little kiosks, and they bring you your food.
Right, but what is something that they have? Like, I know there's a cult following of an In-N-Out burger. I got it, and I went, yeah.
Sonic has the slushies. So if you're somebody that doesn't do cream or ice cream or you're lactose intolerant, like me, that is a great place to get something cold during the summer.
So it's like a Mr. Misty.
Correct. Merkin would love it.
Merkin likes anything with sugar. Anything. He is a sugar freak. Yeah, like if I go to a Sonic, not that I'm planning to, like what am I ordering? Just a normal burger? Is that what they're known for?
I actually have never gotten food there. I've only gotten the ice cream there. So I have no recommendations on the food. But for the ice cream, I would say, what do you like in your ice cream? Do you like M&Ms? Do you like cookie dough? Any of that stuff?
I mean, if I was going to eat that, probably M&M's.
M&M's? Okay, just get, like, their,
or something.
Get their version of the Blizzard with M&M's. It's so good.
Their version of the Blizzard
can't
with
remember
M&M's.
What it's called. It's been so long since I
like, if I'm
going to
go fast food ice cream, it's going to be Culver's.
Not a huge Culver's fan.
Like, I've never had their burger. I've just had ice cream. Their custard.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I haven't had it in eons. Fat Cap loved that stuff. Loved it.
Yeah, if I'm
Cold Stone Creamery. You ever been to that?
But that's not really like a fast food. That's a legitimate like ice cream joint. You're going there to get just ice cream.
Right, you're not going to a drive-thru there.
I like the Wendy's Frosties too. Uh-huh. I'm a big sucker for that. You get the Frosty, you get the fries, you get the fries and the Frosty, a little salt with the
Excuse
sugar.
Me?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We've talked about this before, Cap. You dip the fries in the Frosty. It's the salt and the sweet.
So nasty.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. I'm not a sweet, savory person like chocolate.
Don't mix.
I don't like to mix. Like, my wife likes sea salt chocolate. Awful. Awful. I don't want salt in my chocolate.
You won't do, like, pretzels with M&Ms or something? Like, a little mix like that?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Like, if I'm going to eat chocolate, I'm eating chocolate. Period. Yeah. And if I'm going to eat, like if I was to have something salty that I would never eat, pita chips. Stacy's pita chips.
Little hummus?
No, I don't like hummus.
You're not a hummus guy?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't need any kind of dip, nothing. Just give me the bag of Stacy's. And tear it open and just sit on the couch watching something, yeah, that can get dangerous. So I don't even have them in the house. But they're good. Really good.
Yeah, my salty go-to is always the pretzels. Pretzels
are
my go-to.
Yeah, my son's a big pretzel guy. I'm not a popcorn guy.
Really? Okay.
I hate popcorn.
So what do you eat when you watch movies?
Wow. I haven't been to a theater in so long.
Even if you're at home or something.
I'm trying to think. I mean,
it's not that I'm so locked in on trying to not eat unhealthy stuff that I really don't eat a lot watching a movie. Drink a lot, but you know, I love Bai. You know the drink Bai?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. 1 gram of sugar. It's awesome. I get the watermelon flavor and I'm a happy guy. But if I was going to just sit on the couch like tomorrow watching football and go, I'm going to crush some Stacy's pita chips. Yes. All in. That would be good. 312-332-3776. So we're going to get Meller's fantasy moment so you can get his advice. So light up the phones right now. Who should you start in your games? Meller is the guru. Plus, are you going to watch a couple of these really offbeat, different sporting events this weekend? I'll tell you what those are. We'll talk to Jeff Meller next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Okay, so we have the best fantasy expert. He's Jeff Meller. He works on this show. He's the host of Bears Post Game. But fantasy, man, that guy is awesome. And he joins us now. Mels, how are you today?
Pretty good, Cap. How you doing, buddy?
Doing very well. Ready to crush some pie tomorrow and enjoy a couple of days at home. But fantasy-wise, Mitchell Trubisky versus Nick Foles, is it just changing the deck chairs on the Titanic, or can one of them actually put some numbers up against Green Bay?
Well, I think at this point, from what we've seen from Nick Foles, I think if I had to choose, like, Mitchell Trubisky's the guy who can actually do something with his legs, which gives you a little bit of benefit for fantasy purposes. But at this point, you know, unless you're in a two quarterback league, because in two quarterback leagues, every starter is like a viable option to be used. But if you're in a one quarterback league, you can't be thinking about Mitch Trubisky at this point. But in two quarterback leagues, I could see the argument because of his legs where we would consider starting him if he got the nod. No, Nick Foles at this point is just DOA. You can't use him in fantasy with any hope, basically.
All right, let's go to the phones because we've got callers. If you got a question for Jeff, 312-332-3776. Joe's in Skokie, my hometown. Hey, Joe, you're on with Mels.
Hey, I need a third wide receiver. I got Cooper Kupp or Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, I'm going to say I would still use Cooper Kupp. You saw Pittman looks, he's had a couple of nice weeks in a row, but he's still got Phillip Rivers throwing to him. You know, the Colts want to run the ball when they can. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, you know, what you saw Monday night is always on the table for him, whereas Pittman, we just don't know enough about what his ceiling is. So I'd still use Cooper Kupp at this point.
All right, appreciate
that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Let's go to Jake. Jake in Arlington Heights. And if you've got a fantasy question for Jeff Meller, 312-332-3776. Jake, you're up.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too.
And I have David Montgomery, Jonathan Taylor, or Giovanni Bernard.
And do you need just one of those?
Just one.
Oh, yeah, so I'm still staying away from David Montgomery at this point. The Bears' offense is just, there's no reason to use any of those guys if you can avoid it. Allen Robinson would be the only one I would even consider at this point. And then for Bernard versus, who was the other guy, Cap? Bernard or?
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, that's right. All right, I'm still going to use Bernard. You know he's going to get the full workload. Taylor obviously got a little bit more last week that looked better for him, but I don't think I'm not convinced yet that Taylor's the featured back for the Colts just yet. So whereas Bernard, you know, against the Giants this week, he's going to get the full workload.
All right. There you go, Jake. Thanks for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. Let's go to Joe in Uptown, 312-332-3776. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
I got Salvin Ahmad. I got David Montgomery, and then I got... DeAndre Swift.
Yeah,
two running backs in PPR league.
Okay, so Swift for sure, as long as he's active, you know, he's definitely
correct
in there. And then I would go ahead and use Selvin Ahmed over Montgomery. Again, it's just, you know, it's not a good – I mean, the Packers' defense hasn't been obviously that great. But at the same time, I'm sorry, Bears fans, but I don't know how you could have any confidence in what you've seen to use any of the offensive players for them right now.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going into a hostile, Joe, thanks, a hostile environment in Green Bay. I mean, I just don't want it to become like it was, what was that, 2014, when it was like 50-14?
The Trestman 50 burger was that. I mean, I'm trying to remember, did Rodgers have like 5 touchdowns at the half or something like that? I'm trying to remember if I'm confusing my Aaron Rodgers games when he went crazy. But I just, you know, I don't know. It's setting up for one of those where it just feels like the Packers are going to cave in the Bears' head this
week. So Packers win 55-14.
Yeah.
It was 42-0 at the half.
Yes.
And remember it was Aaron Rodgers, 18-27 for 315 yards and 6 touchdowns.
6 touchdowns.
Jay Cutler, 22-37, 272, a tutty, and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, that was the worst Bears Packers game I can remember in a long, long time.
Oh my God. I mean, it was, and that was there was the bye week the week before.
Yes.
And the week before that, I think we lost to New England 50-whatever.
Correct. Yeah, it was back to back 50 burgers. It was not a good time in Bears lore, and we're kind of getting to a point where it's feeling pretty bad these days as well.
I called that back in the day radio gold, because they're not 8-8, they're not 7-9, they're not 9-7. Radio gold, man. The locker room became radioactive, the coaching staff, the GM, like everything was completely whacked.
Yeah, of course. It's easy. You don't want a team where it's kind of in the middle. And at 5-5 this year, that's what the Bears are. But, like, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, those performances, though, as a fan, just leave you, I mean, you know, there's no hope. And right now, you know, because of the 5 wins, Cap, like, we keep talking about this. Like, until they figure out a franchise quarterback, or at least a competent quarterback who can get you going offensively, we're kind of stuck in this no man's land. And I'd be okay, you know, I know you've talked about going and grabbing a tackle, and that makes sense to me if you cannot, you know, grab the quarterback that you like because you are picking, you know, in the middle of the first round. That's fine. Nevertheless, we just, as fans, this is a spot where I don't know how you can really feel good about where the Bears are at heading into Lambeau on Sunday. No. I'm trying to celebrate the great fact that we have one of my favorite holidays, you know, tomorrow. A lot of football to watch tomorrow. And then, you know, maybe if we have time, I'll get to the leftovers, that is the Bears and Packers on Sunday night. I will, because we have to, obviously, but I'm going to focus on the next couple of days where I'm going to have fun and not let the Bears deter me, if you know what I mean, Cap.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, that Patriots game, that game was 51-23. It was 38-7 at the half.
If I'm not mistaken, was that also the same game where Lamar Houston blew out his ACL after dancing when he got a sack?
I don't think it was. Brady threw 5 touchdowns in that game, completed 30 of 35 passes. 30 of 35 for 354, 10.1 average per completion, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks, and a quarterback rating of 148.4.
Yeah.
Lamar Houston, I think that happened at Soldier Field, didn't it?
I'm doing a quick search. No, I think it was that game.
Lamar Houston tore his ACL celebrating a sack of Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what it was.
But Garoppolo was in the game because
October 27, 2014. You're correct.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah, I just remember that you know what? Part of the reason I remember sometimes those things going together, believe it or not, was because that's always good fodder for the holiday parody song contest, which I know Waddle and Sylvie are getting set to roll out yet again. So, you know, when you have those little moments that are so memorable, sometimes that's why they linger in my head, because we have all these great parody songs that we've had over the years for Waddle and Sylvie. So, you know what? Maybe that's the bright spot in this year's Bears season. It gives you more fodder
For the
parody songs, exactly.
Mals, have a great Thanksgiving, kid. We'll be listening to you on Sunday night on postgame.
Thank you, Cap. We're going to fire up the New York Strip Steaks and have ourselves a feast.
Nice. See? You're getting smart there.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one. See ya. All right, we'll crosstalk with Carmen York in 2 minutes.